Well, good evening. Welcome to Why Life Is. This is Niles McFlower, your host. And again, another, I hope, a very interesting show on metaphysics and spirituality. Tonight we're going to be dealing with the metaphysics of developing consciousness. What that means is that most people think of consciousness as like, oh, gee, that's sort of like I am there or I'm not there, or I'm able to understand something or not understand something. There's a lot of different ways that people think of it. Some people think of consciousness as just as whether or not someone has literally any way to respond to something or not within their mind. But in reality, it's more complicated than that. Of course it is. I mean, after all, most of this stuff is not just as simple as it seems. But, and tonight I want to talk about how it is more scientifically based in metaphysics and how and why we have consciousness and what we can do to improve upon it, because to improve upon consciousness gives us many different, we'll say, benefits. But I guess I should start off by first giving a definition. I love definitions, you know that. If you've listened to me before, you know, yeah, that guy's always into definitions. Oh, by the way, before I even do that, I guess I should give out these phone numbers here. Sometimes I forget to do this. If, you know, if you would like to call in and chat with me or ask a question or make a comment or tell me I don't know what I'm talking about, whatever you would like to do, you can do all that. By calling in the U.S., 877-876-5227. If you're in Canada, only in Canada, 888-815-9756. And for the rest of you who are someplace other than those places, you'll have to probably send me an email or something like that. And you can do that. You can reach me at thoughts@whylifeis.com. I don't say that very often, but you can reach me that way. So there you go. You got all that to think about and attempt to get me. The thing is about the thoughts of why life is, I still don't have a computer here in the studio in real time. So if you send me something, somebody might get it, but then I might not get it timely. But I can address it at some other time. At any rate, here we go. Now, what is the definition of consciousness? And the best way to define it, and I think this is, I like a very practical, down-to-earth way of understanding it, is that it is just that. It's the ability to understand. It's the ability to link together different segments of what we know and what we sense and connect them in ways so they lead to a better understanding within us. It also supplies us with a way of connecting one thought to another thought. Because if we don't have consciousness, we will lack the ability to do that. It's the connectivity or directiveness of thought itself that is, in fact, consciousness. It's an amazing thing, and it actually comes from a part of what thought is composed of. You might say, well, what in the heck is thought? Well, in order to understand consciousness, I'm going to have to give you another definition. That is, what is thought? And you see, thought is actually a combination of the following. You ready? All right. It's choices. Yep. Making a choice. And then connecting that choice to some other choices that one has in some way made before. Okay. So you're not just randomly making choices, because that's not thinking. But if you connect it to some other choices that you have made before, then you're using consciousness with the choices. And then there's a further part of the definition of thought. One last thing that it has to do. It has to affect further choices that one might make. Further choices. By limiting or by reducing the choices, not by increasing the choices that one might make in the next time one decides to think. Then one has truly done some thinking. Oh, boy. And you might say, well, that's very difficult to follow. I know, unfortunately, if you want something that is as esoteric and difficult to understand as a definition of thought, unfortunately, it's got to be that complex, because I don't know any other way to make it simpler than that. But you notice that in thought, there is always consciousness. So someone is thinking must have some element of consciousness, or by the definition I gave you, you're really not thinking. You might be having some kind of dream. That's a possibility. You might be having some kind of sense and awareness. That's a different thing. See, if we have an awareness and a sense, which is what awareness comes from, senses, that's like a response to the outside environment by some energy that we are getting information from through energy within our own system. And that's called awareness. That's a good thing. But it isn't thought. Just because one is aware, one is not necessarily thinking, and therefore, if one is not thinking, one could not be conscious, because consciousness is part of thought. Some of this is maybe making sense. It's making sense to me. You see, that's the thing. A lot of this stuff makes sense to me. I hope it's making sense to you. If it isn't, give me a call. I'll try to explain it another way, or we can talk about it and figure it out. Okay, so consciousness is this wonderful part of us that allows us to connect choices and to affect further choices, and it gives us understanding of what the choices are in terms of the way they're connected together. It also gives us understanding of all the things around us, everything, that we seek or want to in some way connect to ourselves or in relationship to ourselves or relationship to anything else. So relationship is a major part of consciousness. It gives us the ability to do that. And the important part about this, I think, that's really interesting in metaphysics is that consciousness is also connected to a very important other element. Besides being connected to thought and being part of thought, consciousness is also part of love. You might say, love? Well, now where did it come from? Okay, I got the thought part, maybe, but what about the love part? I don't think, what has love got to do with it, you know? I think that was a song. Anyway, what has it got to do with it? Well, what it has to do with it is this. In order to be conscious, one must be able to connect with something outside of one's own existence. And in order to do that connection, even if it's a different thought that one's having at the present moment or something that lies in a physical sense outside of us or in some other dimensional plane outside of us, in order to do that, there must be a willingness to give something, give up something, give something to that which is being attempted to be connected to us. Even if it's only in a truly intellectual way, such as in thinking about it or trying to understand it, as we put it, there is some level of giving in the process of doing that. And giving is another word for loving. Yeah, so in order to be conscious of anything, there has to be some level of giving, which is also part of loving. Even though it's a very, very minimal level, if we're just talking about, well, I'm willing to think about you for 5 seconds, so therefore I'm being a little bit more conscious of you, and therefore a little more understanding of you, and to a minimal amount for 5 seconds, I'm actually giving a little bit to you because I'm willing to think about you, and included in that thought is consciousness. So it's a really interesting thing how there is a connection between love and giving and consciousness. And the more we are conscious, the more loving we need to be, because the more we have to understand what it is that we are trying to become more conscious about. And in that understanding, it requires us to be giving more and more, either in our thought or our action or interaction, or we can't become more conscious of it. It's an interesting thought. This is deep, 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 deep esoteric stuff I said it's metaphysical. That's what it is. Because this is beyond physics. In order to understand this, you have to understand things that go beyond the present levels of physics. But it does explain a lot of anomalies and problems that physicists and neurologists and many people who want to understand consciousness and noetics particularly, that's people who really want to understand consciousness, they have trouble with, because they many times in their definitions and in the way that they attempt to run experiments, etc., they end up with kind of contradictory information and difficult, because they don't really understand what it is they're trying to understand. Their own consciousness has not yet clearly defined what consciousness is in what I believe to be the correct way, which means that they aren't looking at this business about direction and love and connection and inclusiveness and all the stuff that's part of consciousness. They don't see it that way. But it is a fact. And a fact because you can prove it, but you have to kind of go through a little more than what I'm willing to do on this show right now. I mean, actually, there is a theorem in a sense you can call it that. You can even do a math problem with it if you like. And it can be proven. For those of you who are really interested in this and want to go into that depth, I wrote a book called Life's Hidden Meaning. And in that book, it's a textbook, of course. Yeah. You can go into that, and there's several chapters, chapter 2 and chapter 5, where you can just, you could go as far into this as you might want to ever go and understand how it is really proven that consciousness is part of giving and love. But at any rate, enough for that. For right now, if we accept basically what I said, that in metaphysics, those people who are able to produce better and better quality of love have higher and higher levels of consciousness. But the interesting thing about giving or loving is that there are all kinds of ways that can be given. And I even had a show about this a couple of weeks ago. And let me tell you about this. You see, one of the things is that for a lot of people, they think of love as either the romantic thing, or they think of it as like charity or helping others or taking care of children that they are close to. All those things could be obviously part of love. But love has many different facets and many different ways of expressing itself. And the more ways, in the first place, that it is wise in terms of helping others to become loving themselves, the more it develops consciousness. Now, why is that? Because consciousness is the connectivity or inclusivity of ourselves within everything else. The more we connect with other things, the more we understand them, and by loving we are able to do that. But the interesting thing about this is that when we help those others to love better themselves and in wise ways, then we are really becoming much more connected with them, much more. And the closeness or the oneness that consciousness is producing is accelerated. It is like building up, because we are recognizing the oneness between us and others when we attempt to help them become as much or even more so conscious as we are. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I hope that rang some truth in you. So you see, in the metaphysical world, this process really has to do with a connectivity of the spirit part of ourselves with other people's spirit part, and those two parts kind of joining together through this thing that's so wonderful that is love and or consciousness. When they join together, we and them become really part of a greater whole. And you might say, well, what is that greater whole? Well, I call it the Creator. Some people call it God. But whatever you might call it, it's really becoming part of like one with all else. And that is the critical role that in metaphysics and oftentimes in spirituality that one seeks to achieve. So that's really like what the, we'll call it, what is the goal? The goal of consciousness is to reach a oneness in, we'll say, understanding with all else, but not a oneness, I want to make clear about this, not a oneness in creativity or individuality. So one can be creative and incredibly individual, while one is becoming amazingly conscious and amazingly one with all else in understanding and in sharing and giving and loving wisely with others to co-create more of one's creator. Hopefully that makes some sense. I know a lot of people have told me in the past that they get really concerned about this business of this universal consciousness and all this other stuff, because what worries them is that they're going to lose their individuality. And I say, no, it doesn't work that way. But they need to hear the first 15 minutes of the show or so to greatly understand, hopefully, why that is the case. And now maybe all of you out there are gaining some better understanding, saying we're getting closer, you and I, of this process. Because you don't lose individuality. You don't lose your self. You don't lose being creative. Quite the opposite. You become increasingly more creative of yourself and others and your creator, while you become increasingly more inclusive and more understanding, more loving, more one with everything else. An amazing process, of which I'm going to continue to explain much more about. But we will come to that after we go to our commercial, which will be about 2 minutes and 30 seconds. And when we come back, I hope that I can explain not only more about what it is that we're talking about, which is consciousness, but also how one goes about increasing consciousness in we'll say, a very reasonable fashion that helps. And also, we haven't covered it yet, but what you really get out of all of this, because understanding is part of it, but there's even more than that, and we'll get into that as soon as we return right after these messages.
Hi, everyone. Since childhood, I've had questions about my life and life in general that I couldn't find adequate answers to. Questions like, why am I here? Why are others here? Does the universe have a purpose? And how does that relate to my life? More recently, I've been wondering what happens when we die, especially the reasons why. I'm more of a doubter than a believer in many things, and answers that include the whys allow me to think and figure out the truth for myself. I've been reading a book, Life's Hidden Meaning. This one book contains more answers, including the whys, than all other sources I've read or heard. It's amazing to me that every one of my questions has been thoroughly answered. More importantly, I have found that all of these answers so far have checked out to be true. I hope this message helps some of you in your quest for better understanding. The name of this wonderful book is, again, Life's Hidden Meaning by metaphysician Niles McFlower. Some bookstores sell it. I got my copy directly from the publisher at agelesswisdom.com. Life's Hidden Meaning may enlighten your mind and bring some peace and joy to your heart.
The following statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. ViroPel is a dietary supplement. It is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Colds and flu are a problem that many want answers and alternatives for. Let me tell you about ViroPel, a certified all-organic herbal and nutraceutical formula designed to support relief from symptoms of cold and flu. With so much concern about potential bird flu outbreaks, there may be some help. ViroPel's patents include proven immune enhancement, adding significant preventative and other immune system benefits. In effectiveness trials, most experienced relief from symptoms in 2 to 3 days. Think about how long your last flu symptoms lasted. Incredible and amazing are the words most often used to describe the effects of ViroPel. Using 136 of the highest grade ingredients in a new science gives ViroPel its effectiveness. Relief could be just 1 to 3 days away. To learn more or to purchase ViroPel, call Alternative Health Approaches at 800-777-7850. That's 800-777-7850. Or visit ViroPel, that's ViruPel.org.
Well, we're back, and yes, this is Why Life Is, and I'm your host, Niles McFlower. Tonight, we are talking about what is consciousness and how we can develop it more using principles in metaphysics. And hopefully my definition so far have given you a better understanding of what it is that I'm trying to talk about. I think it's important to go into why someone would want to have higher consciousness, because a lot of people I meet also have that concern. Like, okay, well, you keep telling us about this is good for our consciousness or that is good, but what's the big deal? Well, here is an interesting point. There is another metaphysical principle that I think is important to understand, and that is that the meaning in life, you know, because that's a book I wrote, Life's Hidden Meaning, you know, the meaning in life is directly related to one's level of consciousness. Now, you might say, well, okay, I went pretty far with this on the thought business and then on the love business, but how is meaning related to consciousness? I'm not quite sure. I thought meaning is like whether or not I have this hobby or that thing or I'm interested in, you know. But it goes something like this, that for some people, it might be true that if their consciousness is limited because the development of them, their self, is not very high, they might have a relative meaningful life by doing relatively meaningless things. That's right. But it's all relative. And to their state of consciousness, it might feel okay to them. In other words, they don't have a sense of loss of meaning. They don't find that life is boring or they're not lonely with the people that they know because their level of consciousness is low enough and their ability, now this is very important, their ability to create much more of their consciousness is quite limited. These are people who basically are maybe at an earlier stage of development overall, in a spiritual sense, in development. I'm not saying that they're, you know, like, got some kind of disease or something. I'm saying they're just not as far along the spiritual path. And so, to them, meaning in life might be, you know, doing things that many of us would consider prosaic and mundane. Those are fancy words for not all that meaningful. Okay, so then the question becomes, okay, then when does it make a difference? Well, it makes a difference if you're looking for more meaning. It's sort of self-fulfilling. If you are actually looking for your life to be more meaningful, then it makes a big difference whether or not you are seeking to develop your consciousness or not. And that's when it is a factor. So for those people who, I guess, are probably listening to me at this point, 23 or so minutes into the show, you're probably convinced that, or you've turned the dial, and you wouldn't be hearing me anymore, but you're probably convinced that, hey, you know, there is something to this thing because I would like a bit more meaning in my life, or else you probably wouldn't have been listening. Probably. Unless you're just really, you know, got to listen to the sound of my voice or whatever. Okay, so meaning is relative to ability, very important. Someone who has less ability does not think as meaningful a life. And it's also related to this whole element of consciousness because people who have limits in their consciousness by them being too selfish and having a lack of love may run into a wall. And this happens frequently, by the way. Someone may have a relatively meaningful life up to a certain point in their life, and then because they have reached the point where their abilities exceed their love, they are not conscious enough to make their life meaningful enough for themselves. And for a lot of people, this is something they may be in denial about, including those who are maybe listening to the sound of my voice right now. You see, we seldom think of ourselves as being selfish. We seldom think of ourselves as not loving or not loving wisely enough, or et cetera, et cetera. And so for most people, it just never comes up. But, of course, being who I am, I will bring it up. And this then causes one to ponder the following question. If a person finds that their life is less than being as meaningful as they seek it to be, then one would conclude, based upon what I'm saying, if you believe me and if you find it to be true, truth is different than belief. So you've got to go figure this out for yourself, because I don't want you to just say, I believe it's true because I believe him. Well, I believe it's true for him, but I don't. No, you need to figure this out for yourself. You can get my book, or you can call me, or you can go ahead and do some other research. But whatever you want to do, you do have to come to this in your own heart and mind to know that it is true for you. Okay, so if you are reaching that point, then one would conclude that in order to improve the meaning in life, there is going to be a need to become more wisely giving in life. Now, remember, the word wisdom here is very critical, because some people are really very giving. I mean, amazingly giving, but they don't give as wisely as they should. And if you don't give wisely, if you go back to what I originally said about giving and consciousness, the results convey that you still are not building your consciousness enough, and therefore the wisdom is not coming, developing along with your givingness. And instead of creating a meaningful life, it can create a life of one disaster and one problem after another. Uh-huh. Now, how does all of that come about? First of all, let's start with the love side, and then we'll get to the wisdom side, okay? So the love side, in order to become more loving, we must look at the areas in which we think of ourselves before we think of others. Those are the areas where consciousness is usually being stifled. We think of ourselves instead of thinking of others. And you could say, well, but it's my life. Why shouldn't I be thinking of myself? You know, isn't it all about me? Well, it's really not. It's changing that thought, that it is all about you, into thinking that what we're really here is to create, co-create with our Creator more of life itself and the growth of life. And that's what we're here for, and that's what makes life really meaningful then, because it breaks through the illusion that we're here just to create more of ourselves and to make ourselves in some way special, helpful, better, whatever. It doesn't really matter. It's about us, you see. And for the people that are into that prosaic and kind of mundane stuff, and they aren't really concerned about the rest of this, they haven't used most of their abilities yet. They haven't created their abilities, I should say, and used them to the point where they have a meaningless life. They're still developing more of just the abilities that are very basic in living. And for them, life takes on meaning for just doing those very basic things. In a sense, you can almost call them like, they might be adults, but they still are functionally like very undeveloped or childlike in a spiritual sense. All right, but for the people who are beyond that, people who have great ability but have been selfishly using them, they're starting or have already been experiencing this tremendous lack of meaning. And to gain the meaning, the first thing is you got to reverse the direction of our thought and actions so that they are moving and focused out more towards others than ourselves, and eventually, it's all about everything else, because we then can see that everything else is really tied to us. And by co-creating with everything, about everything, we naturally go along for the ride. And so then we know that this is how it works, and it isn't threatening. It isn't like, oh, gee, I'm paying so much attention to everybody else. What about me? It never even enters our thought. It's a wonderful state of mind. Really, a fantastic state of mind. But to get there requires some strong self-reflective things. You've got to decide that, hey, this is what I'm up against. I'm up against me. It's part of me that is causing me not to develop higher consciousness. It's part of me that's causing me to not develop a meaning, a meaningful life, a really meaningful life, to be everything that I ever wanted to be. Because the only thing that's preventing that is me. You see, we're all self-created. So whatever we are is what we've decided to create in our thought and in our consciousness, which is part of that thought. Aha. Uh-huh. Now, what about the wisdom part? Wisdom is part of a kind of the highest part of mental thought. Now, mental thinking is not the highest kind of thinking, but it's a very, very important part to develop, because the parts that are beyond mental thought are so difficult to develop that you have to be very wise before you can go on to develop those. So, talking about wisdom, wisdom is completeness in thought. It's wholeness in thought. It's consciousness in thought. It's when the consciousness matches the wholeness of your thought, the connectivity of your thought matches your choices. So if you make a choice that's huge, you have to have consciousness or the wholeness of your thought connected to the things that those choices are involved with equaling the choices, or you will make unwise ones. You didn't know that. Well, okay, but now you do. Because that's the definition, again, of how wisdom is created. And many people make a lot of choices, but they're unwilling to connect those choices in wholeness and use them in a complete way so that the thought that they're using is complete enough in a mental sense, structured thought I'm talking about here. That means concepts and thought forms, or concepts. Think of big concepts that are carried through to examples that you can readily apply in your life. That's what I mean. And if you can do that, that's a wonderful thing. If you can balance those two, then you have a thing called love wisdom, and you have developed the wisdom part equal to your love part, and that's an amazing thing. Now, are there ways of doing this in spiritual terms? Yes. If you want to practice a thing called mental yoga, you can actually achieve this very result that I'm talking about through the disciplines involved. Very difficult stuff to do. The first one that comes to mind is called Raja Yoga, which is a yoga invented 3,500 or more years ago, probably more than that, by the way, by a guy named Patanjali, who came up with this idea that I'm basically described to you, that you have to balance out this sort of thing to become wise in your thought. But his whole process was kind of very difficult. He had to memorize these sutras and apply them in certain circumstances, and he could compare them to the pairs of opposites. And it's quite a trick to do. Now, that's the easiest, actually. There's some other mental yogas that are even more difficult. But I think the point is that I don't think that for most people that's where they should head to. I think for most people that's not the answer. I think the answer is much more simple, because most people are not attempting to completely unify every thought in their mind to create only truth and to have complete balance or wisdom to every giving thought that they have. No, I think most people would like to do a bit of this, but not necessarily every part of it. So what I'm going to suggest tonight is something a little easier, or maybe a lot easier, but where people can get a lot further along in this process of developing wisdom with every state of givingness. And it goes something like this. If you find, and we'll use several different ways of doing it, if you find that the meaning that is created, and this is a feedback, the meaning that is created from what you're doing is not high enough, then the first suspicion is that, and you are giving, you know that you're giving, the first suspicion is that you have not found enough ways to see how it is that you're giving affects everyone and everything else that you're giving to, You haven't found enough ways that you're connected to those things. So your consciousness has been too low, and the wisdom part of the giving is missing, or at least it's not at the same level. And so consequently, yes, you're lacking meaning. But you've got to hunt out for those things. This is a more pragmatic way of doing it than trying to achieve it through these very, very, very esoteric ways called mental yogas, which are quite difficult for people to do. They're okay if you're in part of a spiritual group and that's what they do, and that's fine. I commend you for doing that. But for the rest of us, the rest of others, then you've got to look at it from a more practical sense, that you need this practical way of doing it. It may not be perfect. It may fail you sometimes. It may seem almost impossible to figure even out. But at least you got something. I'm going to try, you know, we're trying to get to the very basics here. At least you got something you can try to use. Okay, so let's say that's one way, that meaning isn't working for you. But what are the other ways? Well, we're going to get to those when we get back from break, and we're going to get into the most practical things that I can think of to be of some help in developing consciousness overall. And hopefully, by the end of this little bit of discussion and teaching, everybody will say, gee, I think I might be able to develop my consciousness a bit more than I was doing before. So we'll be back in another 2.5 minutes or so. And when we come back, I'll get into the rest of these ideas and areas of how to grow consciousness.
What book are you reading?
It's a novel, kind of, about romance, love, and spiritual life in general.
Kind of a novel? What do you mean?
Well, it's based on some real-life experiences and even real characters. Some of their experiences are fascinating and remarkable. I can't put this book down.
How come the title is Afterlife Love?
That's part of the fascination. This book describes the afterlife in intricate detail and even explains why things are the way they're explained.
But how can anyone write about or know that?
Some of the characters travel out of body to some places that people who've already died also go to. I'm finding it completely believable because it all makes sense and fits into a bigger picture for me.
Hon, what happens to these people?
You can read it for yourself when I'm done if you want.
Better yet, I'll get my own copy so we can discuss it while we read. Let me see. I'll write down the title. It's Afterlife Love by Niles McFlower. MacFlower.
Afterlife Love is available in some bookstores and from the publisher at agelesswisdom.com or 480-966-3132. That's 480-966-3132.
Let me tell you about most supplements that help support joint health, movement, and ease. They usually contain a few helpful substances that work on some people moderately well. For many others, these levels of help are either not enough or are not helpful at all. But there is a product that contains 36 different high-potency and very effective ingredients that support overall joint health, movement, and ease when moving. It's Freedom of Movement by Alternative Health Approaches, and it works in many different ways. This formula is critically balanced to synergistically and dramatically improve joint movement through supportive health, and usually within several hours. The relief generally lasts for an entire day and over time can be permanent. Freedom of Movement comes with a money-back guarantee. Even shipping is refunded for the first bottle. This unique formulation has helped thousands to maintain joint health. The price is $24.95 for a 90-caplet bottle. It's available from Alternative Health Approaches at 800-777-7850. Give this powerful all-natural supplement a try if you haven't found relief from other sources. That's Freedom of Movement. Call 800-777-7850.
Yes, we're back. This is Why Life Is. I'm your host, Niles McFlower. And I just want to remind you, if you'd like to call in, you can. You can. I know that I do a lot of yakking, but I will stop some of that yakking if you have any questions or thoughts. I'll give you one of the phone numbers here. 877-876-5227 if you're in the U.S. If you're in Canada, well, you should have written that down already by now. How do you like that? All right, now, so here's the point. If we are trying to gain consciousness, then we have to have a lot of, well, I call them crutches, to give us feedback about when we're being less loving or when we're being less wise in the way that we're loving, because most people don't see it in themselves. This is one of the problems. Let's face it, we all like to see ourselves a lot better than we probably are, you know? I'm not saying that people are terrible, some are, though, but I'm saying, in general, it's very hard to see the uglier parts of us. And so I'm going to give you some other, we'll say, hints and ways that might be of some help to understand where and when we are not really being as conscious as we need to be. Okay. When a person feels either bored or lonely. Okay, I'm going to say it again. When a person feels either bored or lonely, there is almost a certainty that at those times there has been a lack of consciousness. And a consciousness is related to either a lack of love or a lack of wisdom or both. So I don't care when it is, I don't care how it is, if you're feeling either bored or lonely in any particular circumstance, or if it's generalized, that's even worse, but then at those times, you need to be looking, this is the time to be looking at, okay, how is it, according to this guy on the radio, how is it that I might not being inclusive enough, not seeing enough of the big picture, not connecting myself with others and seeing how I can be giving to them in ways to help them become more giving in a wise way. So I'm trying to help them to become what I am so that I and they are more one. And so that I am co-creating the growth of the Creator and becoming also connected to that being, that thing, that it. That great thing that is connecting everything else in the universe. So, you see, that's a very good way. And for a lot of us, it's something that's so practical and simple. And I don't even know how many times I've heard from people saying to me, well, I feel bored, or I feel lonely, or I feel isolated and not connected. And whatever. I mean, those are other words for the same kind of thing, right? So, and I hear this, and I say, well, there's a person who needs to be more conscious, because then they wouldn't feel that way, you see. Wow. So, and I'm not trying to insult anybody. I'm not trying to, you know, beat up on people that you're bad or something. I'm just trying to give you a way to know how it might be that you're not being conscious enough. Your abilities are there, and you could be using them, and instead they're being too much focused on yourself, and that is what is causing the problem. But you're not aware of it. Because to be aware of that takes, you know, it takes a lot to become aware of it. Unless you're using these little tricks that I'm suggesting. Now, these tricks are not part of necessarily mental yogas, by the way. But they are useful. They're extremely useful for getting to the very core of a situation quickly. They may not completely reveal it, but at least it's some place to start from. Okay, so what else can then, let's say someone says, okay, yep, I'm bored, I'm lonely, I don't find meaning in my life, the whole thing. All right, so what now? Okay, you said to become wiser and more giving, etc., but how can I exercise that way from moment to moment during the day? Because that's the problem. I mean, you can think about it when you're not around people and when you're not involved in anything, but it's so hard to be conscious at the moments when love or givingness are really needed and can be applied. The first thing is to prepare yourself by reflecting on the times when you have failed to do this. Because those times have within them kernels of universality to the ways that there is selfishness. It isn't going to be the same every time, but the concepts, the bases, of what it is that's causing the problem, concepts are causative, they will be there. And from those, you can extrapolate new situations as little red flags when it might come up again, even though those situations are not going to be the same. But there's going to be some similarity. Knowing the similarities builds consciousness in itself. Just knowing it, because you're identifying yourself with others. You're connecting yourself to causes beyond just yourself. And so it starts to make some degree of change. But it isn't enough. I don't want you to think you can sit and meditate about this thing and meditate yourself into complete consciousness. No. You actually have to, if you want to really develop your consciousness, you need to complete it in the ways that you're going to take action and in taking action. Because we live in an action universe, really. You need to do more than just say, oh, well, I thought about it, so this, and I'm done. You know, no, because you're interacting. This is interactional. So during the times of interaction, if you thought about it and you meditate and raise your consciousness, but if you don't during the times of interaction take the steps to give wisely, then your consciousness will fall and fall lower than it was to begin with. And you might say, well, why is that? Well, there's a complicated thing. It's about karma and how things work in a very esoteric way. And I'm not going to go into it right now. We'll have a show on it, of course, but believe me, if you do that, it's sort of like being a spiritual hypocrite, and the results are going to be devastating. You'll actually do more harm to yourself than if you hadn't thought about it in the first place, you hadn't listened to the show or anything else, than to prepare, so to speak, by reflecting and meditating and contemplating. Those are great things to do, but then not carrying through in circumstances where you should be. You will actually lower your consciousness lower than it was to begin with. I've seen this happen time and time again. It must be taken out in action. You must serve others. You can't just say, well, I thought about it. I'm a little bit more conscious now. And then forget about it, because that will not work. I'm cautioning everybody. Don't go down that. If you want to try it one or two times just to prove that I'm right, that's fine. But you better write down everything before and after, because your consciousness will fall to the point where you won't even remember what it was you were supposed to be checking. That's entirely possible. So be careful, even if you're going to experiment with this to see whether or not I'm right about it. So just be careful. Maybe it's best to do this in concert with other people who can remind you and suggest to you and say, well, you really have lost some consciousness here. And so then you can see. See, I'm just saying, experiment with this. Okay, so let's say we prepare ourselves and we're not going to fail in that. We're going to go ahead and interactionally, in taking action with others, we're going to carry through by wisely giving to them. Okay, that's a wonderful thing, and I hope that you do that, by the way. All right, so then, at that point, what is it that really makes the difference in terms of making sure that meaning, et cetera, are developed? Well, it isn't just what you do. It's how others around you respond. I'm giving you another little jewel, another thing that isn't in any of those books, and it isn't about yogas or anything. It's about how others respond. You need to be observant. We all need to be observant of how all the others around us are responding. By having good sense and good awareness. Sense means things that is not just, you know, touching something and saying, oh, there's a piece of wood in front of me. No, sense includes empathy and even beyond. Sense includes the ability to understand other people's feelings and their thoughts. That is included in sense. Okay, so if you can do that now, and I'm assuming that you can or you will work on it, then in that process, what happens is we gain something incredible in the process of getting response from others. As we observe the response from others, we get direct understanding of them and are giving wisely or unwisely to them. That is an important element that many people fail to recognize, and even worse, fail to do. It's so simple. And yet, I read books and I talk to people who just plain skip it. They don't do that. And I look at them, I say, well, how do the other people around you respond? Because they tell me that they are trying to develop their consciousness, but their life isn't more meaningful, and on and on. And I say, okay, well, how is everybody around you responding? I'm not sure. I don't know. Or I don't care. Or I'm not sure if they care. You see, then, if you have any of those answers, I know immediately when someone says that to me, uh-oh, this is a person who's not carrying through to check out really what it is they're doing. No feedback. And therefore, they're failing to develop the consciousness that they think that they are trying to develop. And, of course, their life becomes a less meaningful again. And they don't get it. And they say, well, I'm still lonely, I'm still this. And I say, well, how are other people responding? Well, I don't know. Okay. Well, that tells you right there you got a problem because you're not connected to them enough so that your consciousness has really been functioning at a higher level. Okay, so if you're getting feedback from others, and let's say the others' feedback is still not quite right for you. Now, this is different than not getting any feedback. And you realize, oh, well, there's something wrong here. Those around me are not finding me to be loving and wise as I'm choosing to be. So what do I need to change to achieve that result? Now, the interesting thing is that we shouldn't always judge our consciousness based upon everybody we meet, because some people may have very odd and bad reactions to us, and it isn't because we have lower consciousness, it might be because we have higher consciousness, and they're just threatened by it. But the important thing is that if you really understand where they're coming from, that will become apparent. And you won't fall into that hole either. You won't fall down because someone is responding badly. As long as you understand why and truly understand why they're responding. And then you still can do them some good. I meet people all the time, and this is going to sound a little unhumble, who seem to react to me as though I am more conscious than them, but because of that, they have a bad reaction. I'm not saying whether I am more conscious or not. I'm trying to avoid that, but you see, trying to be politically correct here. But the point is they seem to react to me that way. And so what is my response to them? Do I say, oh, well, they're just an ugly idiot and forget it? No, I still try to help them become more conscious through various ways of giving to them, but not necessarily what they want as much as what they need. And you'd be surprised how different that can be in people who are sometimes fearing us or having some jealous issues or whatever. So that's part of the process. It is part of the process. And the bottom line is, when you're done, when I'm done, or when others are done, in trying to develop more consciousness in others in wise ways so the others are doing it wisely themselves, that shows whether or not our consciousness has grown to be able to do that. I hope that's making some sense to you. This is not an easy subject, I realize. It sounds very convoluted, but it really works. So if we can follow that pattern, if we can use that as a yardstick, it will be tremendously helpful. And remember, don't fall in the trap to believe that everybody is going to necessarily like us, everybody's going to necessarily find what we're doing helpful, but if they aren't, then there's still the opportunity to try to get through to them in some other way to grow their givingness and their consciousness and to make them wiser in some way. There is a way to do that. It may seem as though there isn't, but I'm telling you that there is. Oh, hopefully this has made some sense. Now, if you try this and you have difficulty, you can always call me. Honestly, I'm available. Call me. No charge. Doesn't cost you anything. Well, it might cost you a phone call if you're calling long distance. That's pretty cheap these days. But the point is, you can get a hold of me. I will help you if you're having problems. And if any of the subjects that we covered tonight you're still confused about, you can talk to me or someone I'm associated with. You can also read some of the material that I've written about this. So these are all options to help, because I know this one show cannot cover this vast subject of how to become more conscious and how to become wise in our giving so that we become more conscious. This is really, and this is another thing. It can take many lifetimes to really become great at this. So just aim for trying to improve incrementally small parts of this whole big picture at a time, and realize that as long as your life is becoming increasingly more meaningful, you're on the right track. Increasingly more meaningful. That's a good yardstick to use. Well, you know, I'm running out of time. I'm looking at the clock, and it's ticking away. So I don't even have time to go over where I'm going to be speaking or anything. But for most of you, it doesn't matter because you're not in the Phoenix area. But next week, I'll tell you more about where I'm speaking in case you're visiting and you would like to come to some of the areas I'm speaking to. And if it's outside of Phoenix anytime, I'll let you know about that as well. Well, listen, I hope this has been of some help, and I hope that it has helped people to become, all of you, become more conscious. And until next week, this has been Niles McFlower for Why Life Is.